tests Jesus. "Teacher," he asks, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" Jesus replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers." They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." And Jesus said, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for our brother Alan, who's going to speak to us now. We ask you to give him the words, Lord. And as we send the children out now, we ask your blessing upon them too, that they might hear your word and that they might be filled with joy, and those who are caring for them also. In Jesus' name, amen. Children, you're welcome to leave us now. Follow these 2 nice ladies at the back there, and they will take you to wherever you need to go. As they go, I want to tell you about a terrible thing that has happened in our house. A few nights ago, Jane went downstairs in the dark to find a glass of water in the kitchen, and trod on something squishy. A slug. About that big. And she went something like, eek! Maybe more than that. And this morning I got up early as well and I went downstairs and I thought about this. And so downstairs I turned the lights on and I'm staring around to make sure I don't tread on anything squishy because we have been infested with a few of these things. And it was all fine and I went back upstairs and I turned the lights off as I went back upstairs. And I'm walking along the landing thinking, I hope I don't step on one of those slugs, and smacked my head on the door and went, eek! Or something similar. Which tells us three things. We need to walk in the light or we can get hurt. We have an enemy who is small and who crawls around on his belly, but he seems much bigger if you don't have the light. And making noise is acceptable sometimes when you confront the enemy. Eek isn't necessarily the best noise. Today we've asked Alan to come and make some noise to tell us a little bit about the light that he has been sharing through his life, the confrontations he's had with an enemy, and the way that he has been victorious in it. So, Alan, the floor is yours. You're very welcome. Come and talk to us.
Oh, I'm glad you got me this. This is my prop. It'll all come clear in a minute. Right, I thought, well, everybody's prayed. Thank you for this church. I've not been here very long, but thank you for accepting me and loving me. And Debbie, I could cry now. But we really feel your love here, and we've been ministered to. And in this year, we feel a restoration has taken place in our life. And it's been great. I feel this freedom and a new sense of serving the Lord afresh. So thank you for being a wonderful church to me and my wife. But I'll get started. I must tell a joke, and that'll loosen me up a wee bit and loosen you up to my voice. Now, before I tell this joke, I once said to an old lady in the church, say, look, I'm no intelligent. I'm daft. She said, you're no daft. You're just no academically trained. And that's a bit sums me up. I'm no academically trained. But that's not the joke. This is the joke. The joke is, this little boy, he didn't want to go to church. You might have heard it before. So he didn't want to go to church. So his dad dragged him along and said, just sit there and listen to the vicar. So the vicar was preaching and the dad looked at his little boy and he's just staring at the preacher. And he thought, great, at last. And afterwards, he even went up to the preacher and the dad said, great. And he went up to the preacher and he said, and the preacher said, wonderful, you were listening. He said, no, I was looking at the blood running down your face. He said, how did you get that blood running down your face? He said, well, while I was concentrating my sermon, I cut myself shaving. He said, you should cut your sermon and concentrate on your shaving. Well, I thought that was good. Anyway, so When we all got born again, if you're not born again, you should get born again today. But if you know, before we were born again, or when we were born again, you know, like the Starship Enterprise, you know, beam me up, Scotty. The angels should have beamed you straight up into heaven. But you're still here. Why are you still here? Oh, that rejoicing in heaven when you get born again, but you're still here. Well, we're still here to serve him and to witness. I thought it was wonderful. You know, I got saved when I was 19, but the day I got saved, I remember the sense pouring into me, I've got to tell everybody about Jesus. I just wanted to tell everybody about Jesus, and I made a lot of mistakes and got into a lot of trouble. I just went straight out there, back into the garage where I used to work, and I said, I've got to tell you about Jesus, and they said, shut up. And I said, no, you've got to tell about Jesus. And I went straight into the tea room, and there was all these pictures of ladies with no clothes on, and I thought, nah, that won't do anymore. So I ripped them all down, threw them in the bin, and then they came in and said, where's our ladies? I said, oh, they're in the bin. Where's your Bible? And so they were looking for my Bible, and I had to hide it behind one of the tires so they couldn't get it. They'd set a fire for it, but they didn't get it. So anyway, this is when the mistakes I'd made, but I was so enthusiastic. You remember the time of hubcaps? you know. So I got all these tracks. You remember the little Chick tracks? I don't know if you remember them. So every time I repaired the puncture, I put one in the hubcap and clicked it on, and when it opened, it would say, "Smile, Jesus loves you." And then they would get one of these little tracks. So I had a lot of fun, but I went to the pastor, and I said to the pastor, "I want to do something." He said, "Well, go swimming with the rest of the young people." I said, "I don't want to swim, I want to do the gospel." But of course, when I came to the Lord, I could hardly read or write. So as much as I was enthusiastic, I wanted to, all I could give was my testimony. I hadn't read the Bible yet, so I could only give my testimony. So I gave my testimony to everybody. But as I started to learn to read and read the Bible, I to tell you the truth, I don't think I've read any book right through. I've only read the Bible. But I wanted to know Jesus. I wanted to know that Jesus. And somebody said to me, "If you want to know Jesus, you read John's Gospel 50 times. And I must have read it more than that. But I just read it and read it and read it. And, you know, one good thing to do is to get up before any time, just ask the Lord to wake you up and spend 10 minutes with the Lord. If you can't spend 2 minutes with him. But just being in his presence is just wonderful. And he's always got something new to teach you, which is great, really. And today I got up and I said, "Lord, I want to just..." And there it was. It was in my daily reading, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And you know, when they went into that 7 times furnace, that big trial, and Nebuchadnezzar, 7 times hotter. But do you know the only thing that was loosed in there was the bonds, wasn't it? They didn't even smell a smoke in them. So if you're in the biggest trial of your life, then you'll know in that fire there was a fourth person, Jesus, and he loosed them in that fire. And if you get into the presence of God, and it's a wonderful place, he will loose you of everything, even finding it hard to speak. He'll loose you. And when he looses you, you will tell everybody, "Jesus freed me." Anyway, I'll get to this bit now. You see this here. I've got to tell you a story about this quickly. I told Nigel yesterday. We were helping some gypsies, and we ended up high in the hall with Jeff and Margaret and me and Debbie. And we invited the gypsies to come in here, but the gypsies can't read or write. So I said, "Lord, just give me a picture that I can communicate the gospel to the gypsies." And this is the picture the Lord gave me. And then I asked my good friend, Steve Porter, he was a carpenter, "Can you make what's in my mind?" But he did it. And this is it. And I've used it many times. And you notice that sin here, this is you and me before we were saved, or me and you now, you know, if we're not saved, we walk about like this. We don't know we're like that. God sees us like that. Other people might not see us like that. We might be finely, nicely clothed, but we walk about like this. And I made this red because I read the scripture. It says, "Although your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." And I said to the Lord, and I might be wrong because I'm not educated, so forgive me. I might say some words wrong. Then we said I get the she's and the he's mixed up. So if I say anything wrong, just tell me. Nigel will tell me. So, I said to the Lord, "It's got to be red because Jesus' blood was red. And before we were even born, all your sin was placed in Jesus' blood. That might not be right. I don't know if it's right or not. I'm not an educated person, so I'm getting away with it." But your sin is red. It's red. And Jesus can see it. But when he looks at you, he sees that your sin is in his blood. He sees it. And he said, "I just want to save them. I just want to save." You know, when somebody gets saved, it said there's more rejoicing over one sinner that repents, you know, in the presence of the angels. I don't think the angels are rejoicing. Some people might think they are. I think the Lord's rejoicing, and the angels are witnessing the rejoicing over one sinner that repents. Jesus is excited, and the angels are there to witness it. One sinner that repents. I think this is wonderful. Anyway, this is the picture the Lord's seen me. This is me and you. We're on our own. Do you want to stay in that state?
No.
Okay, so you want to change. Well, Michael's going to help me. Michael. Oh, we've got a bit of missing. Oh, no. I didn't pack the other bit. I didn't pack it. So anyway, you have to imagine, I made a cross. I made a cross with a hole in it. And it goes through the cross like this. Oh, I'm sorry it's still here, but it should have been in the bag. But it's a cross and it's got a hole in it. And you put the man through the cross. And when he goes through the cross, the sin comes away like that. Now the man is free from his sin. You know, all our sin, it's all been paid for. We're all free, whether we're Christians or not. Jesus has paid for your sin. When you realize that it's gone, he's got it on the cross, and it stays there. But he didn't leave you like this, because I'm sure, I remember my sister said to me, you can't be left like that, because you'll go back. You've got to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when you ask the Lord Jesus, you read Romans chapter 6. I mean, I've read it and read it and read it. And what I can see is he puts you through the cross, he puts you to death, and he baptizes you into himself. And here you are. This is Jesus, and you're in him. So where are you? You're in him. And do you know, being in him, you know, sometimes we think, oh, where's God? Where's Jesus? I'm born again. He's right here, and you're right here. And all the resources of heaven are all available to you. At any time, they're available. If you're in a trial, you know, when I first read James chapter 2 and it says, count it all joy when you fall into a trial, I said, who wrote that? Why is that written there? But I realize it is great because it's an opportunity for God to save you out of the trial. If you will seek him in your trial, he's already there. He knows all about the trial. He will lift you out and he will put something solid in you that will keep you. Now, you know the psalm writer at the end of Psalm 23, he says he'll dwell forevermore in the presence of God, didn't he? The Lord is his shepherd, I shall not want. You know, the prodigal son, when he went away from the father, he was gone. And you know, the whole time he was away from his father, he was needy. And if you've gone away from the Lord, you'll be needy. You will always be needy. And the Lord will make sure you're needy. But he's gone with you. He's watching you. But he makes sure you're needy. You know, when Jonah went in the wrong direction, you just think, oh, he's gone the wrong. But God went with him to make sure he was needy. And then when you repent, you come back to the Father's love. It's wonderful. And when you get up in the morning, you spend that time with the Lord, he just reassures you, I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm going to take care of it. I'll work it out in my time. It's always in his time. And I love the story, you know, when the sisters come to, you know, Lazarus, and they say, oh, our brother's dying. Yeah. And Jesus said, oh, let's stay here 2 more days. You know, he's not in a hurry. He knows the time. He just wants to see your heart. He wants to see that you respond to him. The cross will deal with everything. And you will be in him. But don't be wandering about. Stay here. If you stay in the center of God's will, everything will work together. Now, you know it says, everything works together for good to those who love the Lord. They're called according to his purpose. Well, they do. When I came to the Lord and I read that verse, I thought, wow. Because no being educated, I don't much understand. I said to the Lord, give me a picture. All my whole walk with the Lord is full of pictures. And when I got born again, I see the Lord stand in front of me. And everything that was messed up in my life, he said, you work back together. This was Jesus and his authority. You work back together for good for Alan and Debbie. You work back together for good for Alan. You work back together for good. Everything that was messed up in your life, God commands it to work back together for good. As long as you keep in his presence. And you stay free. Yeah, you'll have trials. You know, if I was walking down the road and I fell into a hole, I thought, oh, no. It says, count it all joy when you fall into a hole. Why? Why does it say joy? I'll tell you why. Because when you pray and ask the Lord to get you out of it, you can stand up here and say, you know, I could have got myself out, but Jesus got me out, and give glory to God. Jesus got me out. Jesus got me through. I could never imagine I would have my own business. Never imagine that I would have my own barbershop. And when I went into that barbershop, I thought, I'm not going to advertise. And I didn't advertise. I just thought, if Jesus was sitting on my chair, I'm going to cut the hair as if I'm cutting it for Jesus. I'm going to cut it to my best. Even if the person's blind, I'm going to cut their hair. Even if they're handicapped, I'm going to cut their hair. I'm going to cut it for Jesus, and that's what I do. And then I got loads and loads of customers coming from everywhere. And this lady came in and she said, do you want to advertise your business? I said, no. They said, well, you could get more customers. I said, well, you could put a free advert in there. Saying, I don't want any more customers. It was too many were coming, too many, and it was killing me. But the good thing about it was a vision that the Lord gave my brother, because he's a barber, was he was standing in a river with no water, and his barber chair was in the middle. And this big wave was coming, and he thought, oh, Lord, and it was people. And then they all went into single file and they cut their hair, told them the gospel. Cut their hair, give them the gospel. I've had many opportunities. There's been people sitting on my chair and I cut this side and then I give them the gospel. Because they can't go anywhere. And then I cut the other side. There was one guy, he said, I was brought up in the mission field. I'm sick of Christianity and I was glad to get away from it. And I said, but Jesus still loves you. And I slowed his haircut right down. He said, hurry up and finish my haircut and get out of here. I'm not coming back. I said, that's fine. But, you know, Jesus still loves you. But I better get on to my stories. Hold on. Right. Now, I wrote this down last night and changed it a million times. And I want to tell you about George, the first guy. George had cancer of the throat and he was dying. He was my customer and he was a good friend. He would come quite often. And as he was getting worse and worse, I said to him, George, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. And he said, well, look, I don't know if I've got long to live. Just come round my house tonight. And I went round my house tonight and I took this with him. And he got it. He got it. I'm sorry I didn't bring it across. And he got it. And we prayed together. And the thing that was annoying George was he had broke up with his wife through alcohol. And he lived on his own. But he prayed, Lord, forgive me for how I treated my wife. Forgive me. And that's what the Lord Jesus done for him after he responded. That was wonderful. Another story, I mean, I like this Samaritan story because that Samaritan was on his horse. He's going on his way. He's going to where he's going to go and he comes across this man. But there's no talking involved. There's just action. There's compassion. There's no, what if this man's, a drug addict or an alcoholic, or what if he spent all his money, he's going to waste money. There's no judgment, far from his mind. And God, Jesus was revealing the heart of God, that to have the heart of God, don't judge when you see somebody in a mess. Just don't judge them, just love them. Just love them and love them and love them. And we knew this when we go to the barbershop, we just cut all day. We ask the Lord in the morning, Lord, anybody need you, just bring them in and let us know who it is. So we're just cutting away and this woman came in and Debbie did her little boy and she's cutting away and I turned around, I looked at her and what did I see? Great sadness in her face. And up came compassion because she was broken. And I said, you all right? She said, no. I said, you go to church? She said, yeah, I go occasionally. I said, Well, have you heard of the Alpha course? Yeah, but they don't start till September. I said, well, when would you like to go? She said, tonight. So me and Debbie had this Alpha Express, which was only half an hour. So I said, well, why don't you come to your house tomorrow night? Because I could see that she needed help right away. And she came and she listened to the first one. And then she came a week later, listened to the next one. By the third week, Jesus had saved her. It was wonderful. She went back to her church and gave her life to working with the creche and the young people. And she's still a work in progress. The Lord's still working in her and moving in her. But that was just one day. So we don't know what's going to happen in one day. You just ask them. One day we were just cutting hair there. And I had this sense, I've got to give the gospel. So everybody that came in, I thought, no, it's not them, it's not them, it's not them. And then there was just two people left. One man had no hair, but like Ralph. So one man had no hair, and the other man had hair. So I thought, well, it must be him because he's here, his boy. So I gave him the gospel, and he said, it's all very wonderful, but it's not for me. And then the other man came in, and he sat the boy on the chair, and he said, tell me, everything you said, is it true? I said, did you hear me? I heard everything. I said, it's all true. Jesus loves you. He said, my brother is a pastor, and he's trying to convert me. But I don't want to hear from my brother. I don't want to hear from him. I never liked him. But he said, I'll listen to you. And I gave him the gospel, and I said, well, how did your brother become a pastor? Were you brought up in the church? No. My brother was at university, and he was just about to commit suicide in the university because it was too much for him. And he had a knock at the door, and there was a little girl there saying, God sent me to you, don't do it. And he thought, well, don't do what? He's commit suicide. How did you know? He said, God knows. So he prayed with the man, and the man went on to do a Bible course and became a pastor, and that was his brother. And he'd been telling him about Jesus. And so I said to the man, look, there's an Alpha course running up the road this week. Why don't you go there? And he went there. And he came back sometime again, and he said, I've lost my job. Can you pray for me for a job? So we prayed for him, and he got a job, and he still got that job today, and that was many years ago. And that's another story. It's 5 past. So I can go I'll tell you the ghost story. I told you it yesterday, didn't I? So I was cutting away there, just everyday life, just let the Samaritan go on with your job, but just ask the Lord to bring people across your path. And this man runs in and he said, Alan, I'm martial arts. Here's my customers. I'm black belt, but there's a ghost sitting on my daughter's bed. We've moved into the house, and I go into the room and I say, come on, fight me. But I can't see it. But she sees it. I thought, oh, can you help us? Can you come and do something in the house? So I said, okay. Tell your daughter to come up the shop. So he came up the shop, and I said to his daughter, she was about 16, I said, look, we've got a gypsy gospel service, and I was doing this at the gospel service. I said, why don't you come tonight? So she said, okay then. I said, and if you come to that, we'll come round your house. So she came to the gospel service, and we did this. We don't know what her response was. And then I asked Margaret and Jeff, can you come round and we'll pray in your house? So we prayed round our house. And then we sat in the living room, and I said, well, let's pray and see if anything comes to your mind that might be causing this. So as we prayed, the little girl said, I know what it is. I know what it is. Dad, your brother gave me bones from Africa, witchcraft bones, and they were above her room in the loft where they'd moved in. And they removed them, and there was no more ghost. It disappeared. So the Lord dealt with the problem. The little girl carried on. She went along to the local church, and she got baptized, and we've not seen her since. We don't know how she's going, but the people's lives move on. But these are, you're just a part of it. I think I'm a bit like the Philip, you know, you go in and you tell people and then you go off, and then the John and the other guy goes and he does the other bits. And that's the body of Christ. Everybody's got their part to play. And these are the parts that we play. This last story, and it's 10 past, so this will take 5 minutes and I'll be done. This last story is the story of this lady. I can't say her name, but when I was doing this man's hair, I said, you all right? He said, I'm okay. He said, it's my wife. She's depressed. And I said, well, bring her to the church. Jesus will save her, heal her. He said, no, she won't go to church. And every time this man came, every 4 weeks for his haircut, he told me the same thing. She's getting worse. Now, 3 years had passed, 3 years. And I said, you know what I'm going to say? He said, I know you're going to say, bring it to the church, Jesus will heal her. But she won't come, I tell her every time. And after 3 years, we had moved church, and we were just going along to a Church of England church. And he came in for his haircut, and he said, okay, she's coming this week. And I thought, hey. This week, yeah, she's coming Sunday. And I tell you what, this teaches you a lesson. When people are ready, God goes before you. He will go before you. He'll be there before you get there. And he knows you're coming. He knows you are going to be here today. So I said to this woman, well, meet me at the door at 11 o'clock. And then he said, well, what's going to happen? They're going to do exorcism on me. I said, no, just come. But anyway, before you know what is going to happen to this girl, I just want to tell you about, I asked her husband, how did she get in this state? You don't have to tell me, but just tell me. When she was 13, she went to visit a friend in Wokingham for a sleepover. And the girl she was in the sleepover, she had an older sister who'd fell out with her boyfriend. And the boyfriend had turned up at the house at 1 o'clock in the morning with a hammer. And he hit the mother of the house and killed her. And then he ran up the stairs to see who else he could kill in the house. Well, of course, two of the children escaped. There was three children. Two of them escaped. But this girl I'm talking about, this man, he hit her. And they thought she was dead. The man was arrested and he's got life in prison. And it was in all the papers up in Berkshire. But she said to her father, look, she's going to be like, you know, a vegetable. She's not going to be able to walk or talk again. But anyway, she made nearly a great recovery. And she got married to my customer. And he invited me and Debbie to the wedding. And I remember his father standing up and said, I never thought this day would come to see my daughter get married. This is a wonderful day. But what it left her with was nightmares and flashbacks of that time. And they were crowding in on her until she was in such a bad state. Now, I didn't know all this, but she was 7 weeks in intensive care. I didn't know all this. All I said is bring your wife to the church and Jesus will heal her. But Jesus knew all of that. He only told me after. So anyway, she's there at the church. She comes here. She said, what do I do? I said, right, okay. Well, just come down and sit over there. And what will I do next? I said, well, sing the songs because Jesus knows you're here. Listen to the words and then wait to see what happens. Of course, it was Church of England, you know, the guy with all his gear on and everything. And he's standing there and he's doing all that thing that they have to go through. And she's still standing there. She's sung the songs. And out of the blue, the vicar, he said, God's given me a vision of blood spattered. Does that mean anything to anybody? Of course, she's just in her church for the first time. She stood up and it said, it's me. It's the first meeting we brought her to. It's me. He said, well, come at the front. We'll pray for you. They prayed for her and the Lord delivered her of everything, all the nightmares, the depression, everything. She went home and her husband came in for a haircut. And in front of all my customers, he said, you told me that Jesus would heal her, but I didn't know it was going to be that fast. And that's Jesus for you. Just keep telling people. Keep telling them. And sooner or later, they'll say, you know what? I'm going to come to church and hear about this Jesus. Amen. Oh.